Welcome to this Nederland Community Library podcast of one of our popular Songs from the Stacks recordings.
You want to do a little intro of the song?
You want to do the song and talk after?
I would, yeah, maybe talk about the song after, and then I'll start my interview stuff too.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, welcome to Songs from the Stacks.
Thanks for having
Thanks,
me.
Thanks, Eric.
In case you didn't know, this is Carrie Minor and Ray Smith, a.k.a. Strange Birds, and they're from Rollinsville, Colorado, the thriving metropolis, so
yeah.
The greater Netherlands,
so like
Rollinsville,
miles
Ward, metropolis.
Four, I don't know.
Yeah.
We got a brewery and a distillery, and yeah.
Everything we need.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
Two
Post
food
office.
Groups. Two food groups right there. There At some point.
No, but the distillery is opening a little pizza, kind of to-go pizza place there.
Yeah.
And while they work on funding for the distillery.
Did you want to say something about
Angeline?
Oh, yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I wrote Angeline at 3 in the morning after a conversation with Scott, who's the manager of our local liquor store during COVID. And he was telling me about a guy who would come in every day and tell him he was going to quit drinking that day, and the next morning he'd come to work and he'd be waiting out front of the store. And for some reason it woke me up at 3 a.m. and Angeline came and visited me and I wrote her whole story. You know, I'm sure she's out there somewhere in the plains or who knows where.
Well, it's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
And we met many years ago, either skiing or playing music. I can't remember which.
Yeah. I think you used to come hear us at the Eldora. We used to play there, and you came up and...
Well,
yeah.
We definitely saw you skiing. So.
Definitely
and,
saw you skiing.
When you used to play over, very nice, too.
Yeah.
And we ski together all the time.
Yes, indeed.
When we can, when we arrange.
And we play music together sometimes,
yes,
too.
And Ray has helped produce some music on my CDs. But the whole Strange Birds concept is now 22 years old, and today is your
fourth... Well,
actually,
it's 11 years old.
Oh, it's 11 years
old. Yeah,
but
you met
22 years
ago. We played under our two names for a while, Carrie Minor and Ray Smith, and we had a couple of band names that didn't go anywhere.
We were Sleight of Hand. We played down in Salida, and a bunch of people came and thought they were coming to a magic show.
And then Fat Chance for
and
a little while.
You can't use Sleight of Hand. You can't use Sleight of Hand if you're playing in Central City, because then they throw you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
right,
then you're counting cards or something.
Yeah.
today is their fourth wedding anniversary, by the way. So it's more than fitting that they join us, and thank you for spending your anniversary with us.
Yeah.
Hey, you know.
But I want to know more about your origin story. 22 years ago, you met at
Rocky Mountain Song School.
And how did that meeting at Song School 22 years ago turn into... I know you could, go into excruciating detail.
No, we're not going to do that.
Hours later, we get to where we are today with Strange Birds. But
yeah, I can
tell us more about the
origins.
I was a young mom with three young boys, and the producer of my first album had submitted without me knowing for the song competition in 99. And I got in as one of the top 10 finalists, and I was terrified because I was playing for my sons who were 10, 6, and 4 in the trees in the backyard. And so when I went up there, I had arranged a show. I got a bunch of shows from that. And I had, maybe an hour and a half of material, and I needed to do 2-3-hour shows. So I went up there with the intention of, I even went to the opening of the entrance to Folk Fest and went like this with my arms and said to the universe, help me meet someone I can connect with. But I didn't limit it. So then I met Ray. That was Sunday. I met him Tuesday at the open mic. You know how they do that.
Yeah.
And Ray was kind of in the shadows playing with a friend of ours, Al Hager. And it was like lightning came down and split me open. I was like, I got to find that guy. So I went and sought him out in the dark and said, hey, I got this 3-hour show in a week and a half, and where do you live and what's your name?
We said, yeah, where do you live?
Where do you live and what's your name? Yeah.
Awesome. And
yeah.
22
I might have
years
been more
later,
couth than that.
4 years of marriage. Yeah. Now, this is maybe a little bit tricky question for me to ask, because I don't want to step on your toes a little, but how is it being a performing couple? Do you give each other space to write, or is it better when you co-write? And when you perform, who decides what your repertoire is going to be, or do you negotiate that, and traveling to shows? How does that all work out when you're a couple.
It's cheaper in the hotels when you're touring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if you don't have the room with a, like, smelly bass player or something. You know. So, yeah, I mean, you know, our writing style, we tend to write separately, but then, you know, we then consult each other with an idea and go, you know, what do you think? And then she comes up with something for me, or I come up with something for her, and so we tend to complete our art that way. And sometimes they come out just the way they are, hers or mine. And
yeah. I think we both have a really, like, I'm a slower writer. Like, I do a lot of ballads. I love ballads from history, but I also am just more of a thinker. Not that Ray's not a thinker, but I mean, Ray is such a musical guy. Like, music, if he were a plant, he'd have, like, you know, he'd be the biggest plant in the block. And music comes so easily. You know, like, for example, when he did Muscle Shoals and they wanted all this music for the background in the film, he'd get up in his, like, pajamas in the morning and a cup of coffee and go into the studio and, like, write these incredible pads for film. And I know I couldn't have done what he did. And so I take a longer process. But I think because we complement one another, like, he'll write something and I'll like hear something or suggest something, and it's not like we always take each other's suggestions.
And then playing live, we have a list of all our songs in front of us. So we've tried making song lists for shows, but we always end up going off the list. So generally we have just like 100 something songs laying in front of us on the floor, and we look down and go, you know, what do you think is good? And
sometimes we just turn to each other and say the same song at the same time.
Oh, we did that the other night. I'm like, you want to do Angelina? I'm like, yeah, let's do that. So, you know.
Yeah, we have set lists sometimes, but
it's a socialist situation. Yeah, yeah, it's like, but I'm back of house, she's front of house. Like, I'm setting up the gear, and she's pressing flesh and meeting people. And
putting
and,
out the merch, you know.
Sell CDs. And I'm capable of a little of that, but until I get the gear tight, you know, I'm not satisfied. So.
Well, how about we get to hear another song?
Yeah, man, sure. Absolutely.
We're going to do the title track from our brand new CD.
Yeah.
Highway Islands, right here. Fall 2019, before the big change. And it was a song that kind of got inspired by a situation. We always like to get coffee on the road, like we're coffee snobs. And we were in Wyoming, and I'm looking for a good cup of coffee, and the local gal, everything was boarded up in the downtown of the town we were in, and we asked, like, where's a good coffee? And they said at McDonald's on the highway. So it's amazing how, you know, things kind of show up, you know?
So this is called Highway Islands.
I have a teeny little pocket. I have to get my pick out.
You got your teeny little pick out of your teeny little pocket?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
This is our make-believe teeny tiny desk, too.
Yeah. In case it ends up good, we'll submit to Tiny Desk.
Yeah.
Here we go. You
Here we
ready?
Go.
Oh, no. We got the good intro. Here we go.
They self-describe themselves as blue-collar folk and Americana.
Mm-hmm.
And that song does resonate with that imagery for me, but would you please explain to me what you mean by blue-collar folk?
Well, there's a physicality to blue-collar folk in that, you know, a blue-collar job is like, you know, a plumber, guys that are using their hands and stuff, and so, you know, we do everything. We book, we manage, we move the gear, we tune the guitars, we set up all the stuff, we break it down.
And we started this when we were both working jobs.
Yeah, and but there's a physical nature to what we do. No one's doing anything for us, so it kind of comes, you know, sometimes it just, especially early on, felt like very blue collar, you know,
mm-hmm.
in that you would do all this work and then you would have a tip jar.
I was managing as a single mom with three kids and working at the library. I was painting, like mm-hmm. doing interiors of painting jobs.
It's a Boulder mm-hmm. library, yeah.
And Ray was doing his dental business. And then on top of that, doing shows. So, and doing kids music with my friend Mary Sue.
No manager, no agent.
Mm-hmm.
It's all our thing. I mean, like, you know, somebody like James Taylor, you know, that's a whole nother deal. He walks out, puts his ears in, picks up a guitar somebody tunes, and he's already been sound checked before he even gets on stage. So, you know, that's kind of where it comes from. Just the nuts and bolts of doing gigs, you know.
Yep.
What you do is blue collar folk too. But
I'm glad to know that I'm part of that club. It's a really exclusive club.
Yeah.
It's almost everybody who isn't famous yet. I guess.
There you go.
Hey, explain your. Tell everybody what your instrument you're holding.
This is called an Irish bouzouki, and it's similar to a mandolin. However, it's got a little bit of a longer neck and a bigger bottom, so it has a little more of a bassier.
It's a mandola, basically.
Yeah. And I tune it in a Gaelic tuning. So.
Well, you got another one you want to...
We do. Yeah. We're going to do the next song. It's going to be a song I wrote, and it was based off this book. I thought I'd do this because we're at the library. It's called I Shall Be Near to You. It's by Erin Lindsay McCabe. It's about a young woman back during the Civil War, and she's newly married, and her husband goes to fight in the Civil War, and she realizes after a few weeks that she can't hang alone in this town, so she joins him. And this song I wrote based off this book is called Willie.
Ready?
No, but I don't tape it, darling.
Oh.
Off of
oh,
that.
Yes, darling.
Thank you.
Carrie Minor, Willie.
And there were six women that were found to be women when they were giving birth in the battlefields. And the stories go on and on and on. It's pretty cool. Pretty amazing.
Amazing story. Seems one of your specialties, as long as I've known you, is writing historical songs, songs that have a historical basis to them, be they the one you just sang or another one you wrote about the Barkers and Barker Reservoir.
Yeah, Skeleton Tree.
Yeah. It's been just a horrible, horrible time for musicians, songwriters, anyone connected with the entertainment business probably, as venues shut down the last couple of years. And now things are coming back gangbusters, evidenced by the fact that you've got a brand new CD out. Mm-hmm. You just had a great CD release party, which I was unable to make, but I hear her was sold out.
Yeah.
And
it went
and
great.
And we did a Kickstarter for our album at the end of COVID. We asked for some help from our fans and friends, and we had a $10,000 goal, and we made that in 3 weeks, and we got to almost $14,000 in 4 weeks.
Amazing.
So that was really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know what my experience was like, frustrating,
mm-hmm.
Sure. Having to cancel a lot of gigs and the tour that first year of COVID. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like everybody's coming up for air now. And,
oh, yeah.
And not only drinking some fine, clean water through a fire hose, because people are hungry for music. And by the way, thank you for coming here tonight.
Thank you so much.
Really,
great to have folks here.
Really appreciate being able to play in front of live human beings instead of virtual human beings.
I think one of the amazing things during the pandemic was that, like, you know, I'd watch your movies from your house. Like, we all kept really creative in our own ways that we could do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear of so many bands now from all spectrums, famous down to local to, you know, everything, who just are now putting out these new albums that they wrote and, you know, recorded during the pandemic. And it gave us extra time. We were going to make an album, too, but we would have had to cut off 7 minutes, and we felt like there wasn't 7 minutes we could cut off. We did all these beautiful pads into the songs and, you know, the outros, and it was just kind of a painting. It was kind of like,
mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to call the album Highway Islands, a landscape of songs, because a lot of it was written during our touring time and then coming back and reflecting on that.
So. And, of course, you've got the advantage of having a husband who's a recording engineer, award-winning composer and engineer as well, with a Bird Nest recording studio right in your own home.
Yeah.
We live probably 4 or 5 miles apart, but couldn't visit with each other over the pandemic, and I know I put out a couple of CDs with your help,
just
shifting files around on the internet.
You do some tracks from home, which is great, and then you pop them to me. Our studio does have the distinction of having an isolation booth that has an outside door. So
we did record some people.
We did record probably 3 projects during that period, so they didn't have to come into the house. They just went into the ISO booth, and, you know, we'd get on the headphones, and I'd say, okay, go.
And we also wrote some music for The Alpinist, which is that brand new... Fender Films released it and was bought up by Universal Pictures.
Wonderful. So, in addition to
Muscle Shoals,
there's The Alpinist.
I've
seen that movie. It's a wonderful movie. I had no idea that your music was in
there. Yeah, I got a little piece in there, and then we're working on a film with a director who's doing a film on global warming from the perspective of children.
How it's affecting children.
And so he's tapped into all these filmmakers around the world, and they're filming, you know, they're interviewing their kids or other kids and sending the projects all to Frank. And then next week we're going to record a whole bunch of kids between 7 and 10 years old down in Boulder singing on the chorus, because like we had this vision from the start, especially Carrie, to bring in children. And so
we did a film on about kids in COVID during COVID, and it's won over 300 awards.
Frank Fozzie.
And they're like 11-minute films. They're really short, but they're really well done and sweet. And because they're from all around the world,
you get
to see a real good perspective of how different cultures and different families were, you know, handling it.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we do a last song, or do you have two more for us, or what, just one more?
We have one more.
Before we do
many
a final
hours
song,
of music.
let me ask what kind of challenges you're facing now, and what's coming up for you in the evolution of Strange Birds in the next year or two?
Well, we want to start touring again, so we've been kind of waiting. Our son is a top, researcher for COVID, and then my mom's 94, and we've been caring for her. And so we're going to start touring in September. Feels mm-hmm. good to me. We have a ton of shows between now and then locally. And then also working with Frank Fazio on this film. And
and we're making a rock album.
We're making a rock album. We're making a rock and roll album next.
It felt like a fun thing to do because there's a lot of angst, in the world, and that kind of fuels the whole rock sort of angle of things. And we come from that, so it's fun to dabble.
And we're going to continue supporting our local library.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is kind of an unusual environment to perform in, but we kind of think it's cool.
It's fun. It worked out great.
Song from the Stacks is not your ordinary performing venue, and thank you for joining us this month.
Yeah.
And
thank you, Eric. Really fun.
What have you got for a last
song? It's a song about living the day, and it came from just a phrase I said to Carrie. We were leaving the house one day, and we were talking about stuff, and I said, well, there's always more tomorrow. So there's only one today, and that's where the chorus came from, and then the song sort of sputtered from there. She wrote it down and told me later that I had said that, and she writes down all my incredible wisdom.
Yeah.
Sure.
What did you say that like, weeds are my favorite wildflowers or something?
That's why we're together. She sees the beauty in me, and I see the beauty in her. So so this is called Only One Today.
Carrie Miner, Ray Smith.
Happy anniversary, Ray.
Happy anniversary, Carrie. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you for listening to this Nederland Community Library recording. To find more programs, visit nedlib.org.